Go ahead and be seated. Good morning.
Morning.
All right. First matter up on our docket this morning is docket number 51023, Treasure Island Corporation versus Duhon. And Mr. Woodbury, are we ready to proceed?
Thank you, Your Honor. Honorable Justices of the Nevada Supreme Court, Mr. Koenig, may it please the Court. My name is Jason Woodbury. I'm with the law firm of Kemper, Kroll, Renshaw, Gronauer, and Fiorentino. And I'm here arguing on behalf of the appellant, Treasure Island Corporation, doing business as Treasure Island at the Mirage Bay Resort and Casino, which I will refer to in this argument as Treasure Island. I would ask to reserve 2 minutes of my allotted time for rebuttal following Mr. Koenig's argument. The appeal in this case arises from a judgment on a jury verdict following a 5-day jury trial in this matter. The record reflects that the respondent suffered injuries when she fell in the crosswalk as she was walking across a roadway called Buccaneer Bay Boulevard in Clark County, Nevada. The record further reflects that there was some sort of slippery substance contained within the crosswalk that contributed to her fall. We have identified 4 errors in the record of the trial in this matter upon which Treasure Island is basing this appeal. Those 4 issues are distinct, but they all relate to the one critical issue that was presented in this case at trial. The question of whether Treasure Island owed a duty to the plaintiff as she crossed the crosswalk on Buccaneer Bay Boulevard. At trial, the plaintiff, respondent, presented 2 theories to establish liability on the part of Treasure Island under Nevada law. Neither one of those is supportable by the evidence or by Nevada law. The first theory was that Treasure Island owned the crosswalk. And the second alternative theory was that in the event that it did not exclusively own the crosswalk, that it had engaged in a special use of the crosswalk, which resulted in the unsafe condition. Addressing initially the first of these theories, ownership of the crosswalk. During her case in chief, the plaintiff offered only 2 pieces of evidence to support that the Treasure Island actually owned the crosswalk. The first evidence was the testimony of an individual named Richard Reinert. Richard Reinert, at the time, was Clark County's environmental safety officer. He testified in the trial on November 8, 2007. He testified that the crosswalk was owned by the Treasure Island. Testified that, quote, to the best of his knowledge, end quote, the crosswalk was owned by the Treasure Island at the time of the incident in this case in July of 2004. There are a multitude of problems with Mr. Reinert's testimony. First of all, he testified at trial that at the time of the incident, he believed that Clark County owned the property and owned the crosswalk in question. In accordance with that understanding, Mr. Reinert, as the environmental safety officer, dispatched a cleanup crew to remediate the spill of whatever substance had occurred in that crosswalk. He testified in his deposition on June 12, 2006, that it was his belief that the crosswalk was owned by Clark County. And in fact, during his trial testimony, I would refer the court to volume 2 of our appendix at page 301, he was asked this question. Definitively, as you sit here today, can you tell me whether or not Treasure Island owns the crosswalk that is in contention in this case? The answer to Treasure Island's trial counsel, no, ma'am. He's not a surveyor, not a title examiner, not any person claiming to have any education, experience, or special knowledge regarding property ownership in Clark County, Nevada. He's a lay witness offering his opinion as to ownership of a piece of property, but he didn't review any deed, any written document of property conveyance relating to the crosswalk prior to testifying in this case.
Counsel, did he review any Clark County records, an aerial view?
I don't believe that he did, Your Honor. And Your Honor, you're referring to the website that he did testify that he reviewed. Website that his testimony was maintained by the Clark County Assessor and Recorder.
And wouldn't that be a public, possibly a public record?
I do not believe that it is, Your Honor.
Also, it comes to my attention, there was some conversation, I'll phrase it that way, between Duhon and Clark County, and then also some conversation with TI reference adding the Mirage Casino Hotel. Is that true or not?
There was discussion about that, Your Honor. Prior to the trial, there was some indication that perhaps the Treasure Island Corporation itself was not the owner at all of the crosswalk. There was some indication that perhaps it was the Mirage that was, in fact, the record owner of the crosswalk. In order to simplify the issues to the extent possible, there was an agreement between trial counsel for Ms. Duhon and trial counsel for Treasure Island that the sole contention, that the sole issue at trial would be whether Treasure Island or the county owned the crosswalk, and there wouldn't be the confusion as to the Mirage being perhaps a record owner of some sort in there. But that was part of the record. But I want to go back to the website that Mr. Reinerd observed. The only testimony we have in the record is that, in fact, it was somehow maintained or available through the county recorder's and assessor's website. But that was the entire basis of his testimony, was that he observed on this website a property line that appeared to indicate to him that the crosswalk in question was privately owned, was not owned by the county. Now, no part of that website, no picture that was printed from the website, no printout from it, was ever offered into evidence. Instead, what Mr. Reinhardt was allowed to do was he was allowed to, from memory of his review of a website in 2006, draw a line on a previously admitted exhibit showing his recollection of where the property line was in that. Now, there's all kinds of problems.
Well, counsel, was Mr. Reinhardt duly noticed that he was going to testify and what he was going to testify to?
He was, Your Honor. He was identified as a witness, and he was, in fact, deposed, as I said, on June 12, 2006.
So didn't your client have an equal opportunity to put appropriate documents before him and ask him questions if they thought it was appropriate?
The basis of Mr. Reinert's testimony being that he was opining that Treasure Island owned the website was strictly based on his review of that website. That didn't come to light until after he was deposed in June 12 of 2006. It didn't, in fact, come to light during trial counsel's direct examination of Mr. Reinhardt. It was only on Treasure Island's cross-examination of him that it was determined that, in fact, the entire basis of his testimony was this website, a website that, in fact, contained a disclaimer at trial, at least at the time of trial, that completely repudiated the reliability of the website, that said, this is for reference purposes only. There is no warranty that the property lines that are reflected in this website are accurate.
Well, there's a reason for that disclaimer. We understand what that reason is for the county, but in terms of that testimony, it kind of is what it is, and counsel had an opportunity to cross-examine and point out those alleged fallacies.
You're correct, Your Honor, that Treasure Island's trial counsel did have an opportunity to cross-examine Mr. Reinhardt, but what they didn't have a chance to do was to cross-examine this unknown identity, this unknown person who maintains the website. And that's really the critical matter. Mr. Reinhardt's testimony was simply, I looked at the website, here's what I recollect that it showed. But if the website's not accurate, as the disclaimer would seem to indicate, then the critical person to cross-examine would have been the person who put together that website.
And not necessarily the website counsel, the person who put together the information that was submitted to go on the website.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor. You're absolutely right. But not only were they prevented from cross-examining that person, whoever the relevant person was who put together the information, they were prevented from cross-examining on the disclaimer that existed on the website, at least at the time in 2007. And we asked this court to assign error to that inconsistency, the inconsistency being that Mr. Reinhardt is allowed to testify about what he saw on a website sometime in 2006, according to his testimony, and attribute that information back in time to the year 2004 at the time of this incident. But on the other hand, Treasure Island's trial counsel is prevented from cross-examining Mr. Reinhardt as to the disclaimer on the website because the trial court says we don't know if that disclaimer was there when we reviewed it in 2006.
Counsel, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, before you use up all your time, would you talk about appropriateness of special use?
Yes, Your Honor.
So that we look at that as well as this other issue you've presented to us.
Certainly, Your Honor. I appreciate the opportunity. Special use...
I have one question before you move off that. Did you file a Rule 50 motion or TI after the verdict and entry of judgment on the verdict?
No. The Rule 50 motion... that was presented in this case was presented at the conclusion of the plaintiff's case in chief.
And procedurally, how was the objection to this gentleman's lack of foundation for his testimony, Mr. Reinhardt, preserved other than by the motion for directed verdict under 50A?
Well, that's
judgment as a matter of law.
That's what we would rely on as preserving the objection. And
strictly the judgment motion for judgment as a matter of law?
Well, that, Your Honor, and I would submit to the court that it's more a matter of the weight of Mr. Reinhardt's testimony as opposed to necessarily its admissibility. Certainly, if it had been known when he offered the opinion in terms of the ownership of the property, if it had been known that he was relying on this website, a contemporaneous objection would have been appropriate.
But there was no motion to strike it, for example?
There was no motion to strike, and that was based on the belief, Your Honor, that they would that Treasure Island Trial Counsel would have a full and fair opportunity to cross-examine Mr. Reinhardt as to the basis of his opinion and the existence of this disclaimer on the website.
Thank you, and I interrupted your...
Before we move on to special use while we're right here, could you also address... the fact that you had interrogatory answers out there, and you've got a continuing obligation to answer, and when you were asked Treasure Island owned that piece of property, you answered that you were investigating that matter, and nothing further. Apparently there was no motion to compel an answer to that interrogatory question later on, but you never supplemented that answer.
That is
and correct. Obviously this is a key critical issue in this case.
It is. I mean, I believe that it is the issue in the case, Your Honor. And your statement about what was said in response to the interrogatory is absolutely correct.
But then at trial, Treasure Island comes in to point at Clark County, that Clark County owned this property, and couldn't the jurors view that as being coy and evasive and also supportive of their findings?
They could, Your Honor, and we're not saying that the answer to the interrogatory is irrelevant. There was no objection to its use at trial, and it came in. We're just saying that by saying that the matter is under investigation, we're not saying one way or the other and who owns that property. But what we are entitled to do is we are entitled to present the conflicting evidence showing county ownership of that property, just as Ms. Duhon's trial counsel is entitled, perfectly entitled, to present evidence of Treasure Island's ownership. To some extent, that question is still up in the air today. It's still under investigation by this court as to who owned that property.
And actually, I'll let you move on to special use. Since we've been questioning you, I'm going to give you a little bit of additional time on your rebuttal.
Justice Douglas, your question on special use. It's our contention that special use has no application in this case. And we say that for two reasons. Number one, special use the special use doctrine in Nevada has only been applied at this point to quote-unquote sidewalks. That is, a sidewalk portion of that abuts a private property owner's property. It has never been extended to crosswalks. Secondly, special use requires, if I could have the court's indulgence for a moment, special use requires just that, some sort of special use, a non-customary, abnormal type of use in order to invoke that doctrine. There is not a shred of evidence in the record as to what caused this condition in the crosswalk. The general assumption seems to be that there was some emission or deposit from a motor vehicle. But I submit to the court that a motor vehicle driving over a crosswalk is a normal and customary use. And then if I may finish one more point on that, Your Honor.
Okay.
The other is that even if a motor vehicle driving over a crosswalk is a special use, this is a public thoroughfare. Buccaneer Bay Boulevard connects to public streets. There's no evidence in the record showing that Treasure Island or an affiliate of Treasure Island or a customer or an employee was the cause of that deposit of the slippery substance. Thank you.
And I'll give you 2 minutes on rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Koenig?
Good morning, Justices. Michael Koenig here on behalf of Respondent Kelly Duyon. In my respondent's brief, I went into a lot of detail about the pre-litigation discovery with regard to who owned what on that crosswalk. And as you know, Clark County answered their interrogatories that were submitted to them by Treasure Island, saying that Treasure Island or Mirage Corporation owns the crosswalk, and they referred to certain documents that they had provided. And as you also know from the record, Ms. Duyon, we went into court on that whole course expecting to be able to get Clark County's answers, interrogatories in there as the as evidence that the county, or excuse me, that Treasure Island owned the crosswalk. And also we went in there with the non-answer of Treasure Island that basically said, we don't know, investigation is still continuing. It's also important to remember in that interrogatory that Ms. Duyon served upon Treasure Island, we asked for the PMK, the person most knowledgeable who is going to be able to give us the information as to who they believed owned the answered owned the crosswalk. And they didn't answer that.
Did you serve a 30B6 notice of deposition on that?
No, I did the answered interrogatory looking for that information.
Wouldn't Clark County's answer be hearsay? I mean, the court excluded Clark County's answer to the interrogatories on the ground. It's hearsay, appropriately so, I think.
That I didn't raise that as an issue on cross appeal, but it was my understanding at the time that I would have been able to use that, although they had been a party at one time, and as you know, everybody stipulated to let them out. Keep in mind, as you know from the record, there were cross-claims by TI against Clark County, both of them basically saying, hey, you own the property. No, you own the property. As a plaintiff, Ms. Duyon initially was sitting back to let one of the largest corporations in the county, if not the state, figure out what they were going to say as to who owned the property, plus the governmental agency. I mean, we figured, as the plaintiff, that they would know better than us trying to go out and hire a surveyor and try to look at all these things. Albeit we could have done that, but we did not do that because, like I said, we had one of the largest corporations in Nevada required to answer that, and they had a duty to supplement that, and they did not.
Was there ever a motion to compel an answer?
Never made a motion to compel, Your Honor. And as you read the rule, 26E there requires, it states they have a duty to supplement their discovery responses, including answers and interrogatories. In my position, our rule on motions to compel or motions for sanction is I may bring one. And I chose not to bring one under these circumstances. And the court was aware of that when the trial court was aware of the pre-litigation discovery on this issue of ownership, and I believe that a lot of the court's rulings reflect that he was aware of the prior, you know, problems and the lack of response by Treasure Island as whose owner was. And the letter that is in the record where there was an agreement between counsel for plaintiff and counsel for Treasure Island that, you know, they're going to agree it's either the county or it's Treasure Island that owns it. As you read the opening statement of the Treasure Island Council, she is affirmatively contending that we are going to show that the county owns the property. And so, hence, the non-answer to the interrogatory was appropriate to impeach or cast doubt upon Treasure Island's assertion, not only in the opening statement, but throughout trial through some of its witnesses, that the county owned the property. So I thought that was evidence also. Might not be the best evidence in the world, but it is evidence. So you have conflicting evidence. The public record, the Clark County Assessor's webpage that Mr. Reinhardt testified to, he said as part of his job, he should have looked at that, and he tries to look at that website before he sends anybody out to clean anything up when he gets one of these calls. However, in his deposition, he testified, I heard of a spill in a crosswalk where somebody had been injured. You know, I didn't take the time to look on the website or to research who owned or did not own that property. I sent out the county's contractors to clean it up because somebody had been injured, and I didn't want to delay getting that thing cleaned up. Buccaneer Bay Boulevard is a private, any questions with regard to the evidence on ownership, whether it was sufficient or not, before I move on to special use?
All right. Well, Buccaneer Bay was a private street that merged into a public thoroughfare, right?
Right.
Okay.
And as you're probably all aware, since you're down here in Clark County, it's a T intersection. It's not a through intersection. It just stops right at Las Vegas Boulevard. And as you look at for the special use, this is a very unusual, the facts here are very difficult. They do not fit comfortably into the special use cases that we have, either from the Supreme Court of Nevada or any of the cases that the Supreme Court and Wiseman and Herndon ever referred to. But I think under this circumstances where special use applies is if you look at the hazard that created this dangerous condition, it was not a natural accumulation of a little drop of oil that one would expect to maybe find on a roadway. It was a huge oil spill with the record and photograph showing that it trailed 20 to 30 feet from Buccaneer Bay Boulevard, up into the crosswalk. The big area, 6 to 8 feet wide, that Ms. Duyon fell on, that was not contained just solely within the white lines of the crosswalk. That also was spilled over on the other side of the white line. So if we're going to say the white lines, whatever they may be, are the property lines, then still clearly there was no dispute that this big oil puddle fluid was on the private property of Buccaneer Bay on the other side of the line, plus it was also in the crosswalk lines itself, where Ms. Duyon happened to be. So that's where I would make the distinction that we have, and there's language, some of the language in the Wiseman case that refers to special uses sometimes found where there's an unnatural accumulation of the substance or the dangerous thing. And most of those cases have to do with snow, or there's some that deal with, where a sidewalk's been used as a driveway, and it breaks up the sidewalk and creates a danger.
Counsel, T.I. has argued to the court that the instruction as a special use that was given was inappropriate, that the instruction they were requesting was more appropriate. Would you comment on that?
I disagree. There was just one or two sentences. We argued that in front of the judge. The language that was given came out of the Wiseman and the Herndon, Wiseman case with the citation to Herndon. And the judge, in his discretion, decided that the instruction as he gave was sufficient and stated the law correctly, and there was some indication that the other language that he wanted, that T.I. wanted, would have been superfluous or would have been somewhat confusing to the jury. And the judge basically said, hey, let's just have the jury decide whether this hazard was caused by a special use, and you can certainly argue, and counsel did argue, all aspects of the law as they wanted to get into on the instruction, as well as what the instruction actually said. So I would argue that if indeed the court feels that might not have been a complete statement of the law, as the instruction given, it was certainly harmless because it was argued by both parties, and the jury found what it did in favor of the plaintiff.
Here, I guess, is another troubling aspect. Special verdict form. There was a special verdict form that was proffered and rejected. And doesn't that put us in a position that if the special use instruction wouldn't have been appropriate in this situation, we have no way to determine what the jury found?
Well, I can't rehash the argument that your co-justice Mike Cherry made in the Allstate versus, or the Miller versus Allstate case, whatever it is. But I would join in the chorus that it is somewhat, that I would agree that in the future that rule should not be applied retroactively, because the law had long standing said if there's only, if there's sufficient evidence to find liability on one of the other theories, then that's what the court should do. So I'm kind of in the position of Justice Cherry and his argument on that in that Miller versus Allstate case.
In your brief on that point, you fault the adequacy of the record with respect to the special verdict, that they didn't proffer one, and it was not included in the record on appeal. I did not find it. Could you elaborate on that point?
I did not see it in the record either. I personally do not recall it, the specific verbiage that they wanted as a special verdict. I don't recall.
But you do concede that they orally asked for one, that it's in the transcript.
They asked for one, it is in the transcript, but there's no reading or what do you want to call it, reading of what the language would have been to let us know exactly what they intended to have in that special verdict form. But there was a request made. But in the record, we don't know what it was, or don't see what it was. And I don't recall ever seeing a special verdict form, but I may have, but I don't recall what it was. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, we'll give you 2 minutes to wrap up.
Thank you, Your Honor. In response to your question, Justice Pickering, there is no verdict form that was submitted in the record. The way that happened was that Treasure Island Trial Counsel made a request for a special verdict. The trial court rejected it out of hand, rejected the entire concept, so it never got to a point where it was submitted. Entirely in the transcript. If I could address your question to Mr. Coney and Justice Douglas, the instruction on special use is incomplete. It never explains what on earth a special use is. It could very well be interpreted to be a use that is specific or personal to the abutting property owner. The language that our trial counsel requested was liability will not lie unless the abutting property owner created the defect in a manner independent of and apart from the ordinary and accustomed use for which sidewalks are designated. That's language straight out of Herndon, straight out of Wiseman, straight out of this court's precedent on the matter, and it was rejected. The most interesting thing that Mr. Koenig stated during the respondent's argument was that the plaintiff could have hired a surveyor, could have hired somebody to go out there and determine definitively who owns this property. And they didn't do it. And they're relying on an interrogatory response that doesn't say one thing or another. That would be significant if Treasure Island bore the burden of proof in this case. Saying we don't know, we're investigating it, is not proof one way or the other. But Treasure Island didn't bear the burden of proof in this case. The plaintiff did.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
matter will stand submitted.